Hello, this is Brian Reynolds, San Luis Obispo County Library Director on KCBX Radio's Issues and Ideas. Joining us today are Veterans Services Officer Dana Cummings for the County of San Luis Obispo and also Library Manager Christine Tardif. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
November is the month we celebrate Veterans Day, and of course the welfare and honor we owe veterans is on our minds 12 months out of the year. Dana, I'd like to start with having you describe a little bit about the veteran services that are provided and what are some of your top priorities.
Sure. Yeah, at the County Veterans Service Office, our main mission is to help plug veterans in the local community into their services and benefits they've earned through their military service. Now, that could be services and benefits from the federal level, from the Department of Veterans Affairs. It could be from the state level with CalVet, whether it be home loans, college fee waiver programs, all sorts of stuff there, and also the local level, plugging them into local county programs, local nonprofits. Like here in San Luis Obispo County, we have groups like the Welcome Military Heroes, we have AMP Surf, and all the other veteran service organizations like AMVETS, American Legion, VFW, and that type of stuff. And those exist not only here in San Luis County, but in Santa Barbara County and Ventura County.
Yeah, we were talking the other day about some of the top services that you offer, or some of the more popular services you offer. Can you tell us about them, like the aid in attendance for older vets and some of the low-income homeless vet services that you offer?
Yeah, the aid in attendance, we have an aging veteran population, just like the rest of our population here in the United States, and many of them in the from the World War II era and Korean War era get into the age where they're in need of more specialized services so that they can stay in their homes or if they're in long-term care. And so the VA has a program called Aid in Attendance that is there to help them in paying for these services. So the veteran will apply with the VA through one of our offices, and they will submit an application. They verify the veteran's income and stuff like that, and what they do a needs assessment basically on the veteran to see what they need and how they can best accommodate.
So that offers them in-home care?
Yeah, they can get, if they've got someone helping them in the home, or if they need someone to help in their home so they can stay in their home, the VA will help pay for that. If they're in long-term care, it'll help pay a portion of that. And so it can be make a huge difference for a veteran in their life.
Mm-hmm. But Dana, I think that program is tied to income level. So if you have too many assets, you wouldn't be qualified necessarily.
Yeah, it is tied to income levels. And so when they come into the office, we do an assessment of their need. You know, if someone's got, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars put away, they're probably not going to qualify for it. But if there is a need, you know, the VA will really step up and help them out a lot. The great thing about the program, especially here in California, is they don't include the person's home in that needs assessment. So that's not counted as one of their net assets, because the threshold number is about $80,000. And uh-huh. As we all know, most homes in California are worth well over $80,000. So we'd never qualify. Mm-hmm. And the VA doesn't use that for that reason.
Would you say, Dana, that things have changed in veteran services over the last few years, or any particular ways they've changed?
Yeah, I think one way it's changed, the VA, for a long time, a lot of vets didn't like the VA. Just they had bad experiences in the past. And so the VA has done a phenomenal job of kind of reinventing themselves, making themselves more customer service oriented. And from that, a lot more vets are coming back into the system, applying for their benefits and stuff. And the VA is trying to do the best job it can in making sure it accommodates them. And so that's been a great thing with the VA. They've done a great job in the last few years of reinventing themselves and making it much more customer service oriented.
And that would be the federal level, the Veterans Administration?
That's at the federal level. At our level, you know, we're working hard all the time to stay knowledgeable in all the new programs. And that's one of the things that's going on at our level, is that the County Veterans Service Officers now are being trained and going to training every 3 months. So we're always up on the latest on what's going on within the VA system and the state and local system, so that we can make sure that we're plugging the veterans into the services they need that best suit them.
How many vets are currently, I mean, just to talk about San Luis Obispo County, how many?
In San Luis Obispo County, we have roughly 25,000 vets, plus or minus a couple mm-hmm. thousand, depending on, you know, moving around, stuff like that. But we have a large veterans population, and we also have on top of that their dependents. So, you know, about 10% of our population in San Luis Obispo County is made up of veterans. I don't know the numbers for Santa Barbara and Ventura.
Now, how many of them would you say seek services?
Right now, we have about 13,000 vets mm-hmm. going through our office, and so we're doing a big outreach campaign right now, and we receive some grant money from the state to do that, to reach out to that other half of that veterans population so that we can mm-hmm. plug them in.
How much, Dana, of your services would you say are advocacy? In other words, as opposed to just helping people fill out forms, how much problem solving do you do or provide a voice for veterans who otherwise would not be heard?
Filling out the forms and stuff, that is part of the advocacy. I mean, I would say that 99% of our job is advocacy. I mean, we're advocating for the vet when we do those forms in that we're submitting those on their behalf to make sure they're done correctly so that they go through, the first time and the VA has the most well-put-together package we can give them to give the vet the best chances of getting the services that they need. And then, we do outreach, like we're at Farmers Market every Thursday night. We go and speak with lots of groups, probably a couple, three a week, getting the word out. We do training, like we have a training session coming up on December 2nd at the Vets Hall for veteran service organizations to send their commanders and stuff to so that we can help them in knowing the basics of how to do the claim so that they can get that out to their membership and kind of do that spider web. Mm-hmm. So that's basically all we are is advocates for the veterans. Mm-hmm. We don't accept any kind of monetary compensation or anything. It's all free, and that's what we're there for.
Where does your salary come from, or your budget, I should say?
All our budget comes from the county general fund, and it is supplemented by state funds as well, but that's the majority is from the general fund of the county.
I'd like to remind our listeners that this is Brian Reynolds, San Luis Obispo County Library Director on KCBX Radio, Issues and Ideas. We are interviewing today County Veterans Services Officer Dana Cummings. That'll be for San Luis Obispo County. And we also have Christine Tardif, Library Manager for the San Luis Obispo County Library.
We read in the paper, here on the radio or whatever, about there are more and more veterans who are unemployed. Then more and more veterans returning to no prospects of a job. And what type of help are you able to offer these vets who are looking for employment?
The job issue, employment issue for the veterans returning home is a big issue. We've got, in the veterans population, it's about a 5% higher than the national average. And it's because a lot of these guys are coming home. A lot of them are combat veterans. And so they, instead of being in school or whatever, they were out defending our country. And so they don't have some of the skill sets to come back and reintegrate into civilian life. And so some of the things we do, we work with other agencies like EDD and other nonprofit groups to help plug them in to job opportunities. We, like down at our office, we have a couple computers set up in our conference room that are solely dedicated for veterans to come in and do job searching, to work on their resumes. And they're open to all the vets, not only the homeless veterans, but any vet that needs that service. Mm-hmm. And another thing we do is that whenever there's a job opportunity, we always ask if, say, someone's listening and they've got a job opportunity, please send it to us. And we'll pump that out to our email group. We've got about 90 organizations we work with, mm-hmm. and we send those out. And we've actually had quite a few vets get plugged into positions through that. And so it's, that's some of the stuff we're doing here in San Luis.
How about educational opportunities? What types of programs are there for vets who are returning who want to go back to school or get some continuing education?
Yeah, pretty much every accredited college has education programs available for veterans. Cuesta College, Hancock, UCSB, Cal Poly, all those have Veterans Administrative Services on site. So their representative there, I mean, it's usually a school employee, mm-hmm. but they will help plug the veterans into their education benefits and get them the forms filled out, and whether it be the post-9/11 GI Bill, the old Montgomery GI Bill, or whatever, and also for their dependents to help them in that process.
Our parents, many parents, my father got to go to college on the GI Bill after World War II. Has that concept changed or been enhanced or diminished over the years?
It's changed a little bit since World War II, and it's definitely been enhanced. The new and latest program is the post-9/11 GI Bill, and that is a great program for returning veterans, and they can also transfer it to their dependents. So say it's a veteran he's already gone to college, he's an officer or something like that. He can transfer his GI Bill to his dependents, whether it be his wife or his children, for them to go to school. Another great program is the State College Fee Waiver Program, where any veteran that's at least 0% service-connected, so say they hurt themselves, but it's not something that's affecting them today, they could get a 0% rating. their kids can go to school at any California public school for tuition free under the California the college fee waiver program, which is it's a great program for these families.
So you're saying there's no disability required?
No, not on the part of the student. Yeah. If the veteran has a service connected disability, even if it's rated at 0% for VA purposes, their child can go to school for free, tuition free, I should say. It's not completely free, but like my son Derek did 2 years at Cuesta, and I think I paid a total of about $300.
Wow, that's
out of
great.
Pocket costs, and you know, it was great. Mm-hmm. And that program actually is, if the student is, you know, 40 years old. And so say my son is 40 years old and he finds himself out of work and he's not making over, right now the limit is $1,100 a month, he could go back to school under this college fee waiver program and go tuition free.
Mm-hmm. Dana, it seems to me that veterans are historically known for bringing a whole raft of skills to the job, such as teamwork and sometimes special skills, say aircraft maintenance. What are today's veterans bringing back to the job market?
Well, they are bringing back a tremendous amount of skills, and that's one of these issues that's been really has been highlighted as of late. There's a new bill that was passed recently, and I apologize, I can't remember the name of it, but basically it's allowing for, say it was a medic, a Navy medic, who served over in Iraq or Afghanistan, who's been, you know, dealt with major triage situations, stuff like that. It used to be they came home, if they wanted to become an EMT, they had to go back to school and do all that new certification over again. And now there's a law that was passed that makes it mandatory for companies and organizations to recognize that service and that training that they had in the military and apply that equally to those positions. So, you know, now more than ever, veterans are being able to apply those skills they've learned during their military service to the civilian world and being able to, you know, help them get into the job market that much faster.
Yeah, I have a brother who has 20 years in the Army, and he was an MP, military police, and he came out and went right into state patrol position in Washington. So he, you know, it was just seamless, you know, to just move into that position, and he's been there now for 10 years or so. So, yeah.
And that's how it should be, you know, and not only for law enforcement, but all these positions. You know, another thing is, you know, even if the vet comes home and, you know, he's not going for a job that he did in the service, a member of the military services brings so much more, in my opinion, so much more than the average guy off the street. You know that person can be trained. You know that person knows how to complete a mission. You know that person more than likely knows how to lead, if not a few, many. And, you know, they bring that discipline and that skill to the civilian workforce. And it's invaluable. I mean, it's just amazing what a veteran can bring.
I would also add, and I know this is a bad pun, but they have calm under fire. I was watching TV a couple of weeks ago, and they had some combat medics, a guy and a gal. And I was very impressed how articulate they were, how dedicated they were, and obviously courageous. I was amazed.
I think we watched the same program.
Yeah.
And it is. It's true. They do. They have that calm under fire. I guarantee you anyone that has served in Iraq or Afghanistan, there is not going to be a civilian situation that's going to rattle them. Mm-hmm. They have been and seen more than anyone here is going to have dealt with, and they'll be great for you.
Yeah, we were talking the other day about my friend who has 20 years in the Navy Reserve, and he now works for the post office. As a disabled vet, the post office does a great job of hiring disabled vets as they're returning. And he works 13, 14 hours a day. And I says, well, how do you do that? And he goes, well, we have an attitude there. We don't stop till the job is done. And I really think that that's sort of a carryover from his military days, that you don't clock in at 9 out at 5. You clock in when the work needs to be done, and you don't clock out till it's done. And there's an attitude there at the post office that, even though sometimes it gets a bad rap, I think that people don't realize that they work for pretty long, hard hours, and so I appreciate that they have taken on so many of our returning vets. So.
Yeah, no, I think that is a carryover from military service. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you have that work ethic set up. I mean, it's drilled into you from day one. And as someone that also worked for the post office while I went to college, yeah, the guys, you know, I think they do get a bad rap because most folks at the post office, yeah, their job's not done until it's out the door, and they do work very hard. And for me, getting that position coming out of the service was a great opportunity for me while I went to school.
Dan, an interesting thing to me is the broad variety of services you provide and the broad variety of agencies with whom you work. Formal agencies, say like State Employment Development, or informal groups like the VFW. How do you do that? Or how do you convene all those groups and get the job done?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a very intricate juggling act. You know, we do work with a lot of different groups, and we have a lot of things going on at the same time that we're organizing. We have things like, you know, Veterans Treatment Court that we're trying to set up, stand downs, coordinating, you know, activities for honoring our veterans and welcoming them home. And one key way I do it is by email and using that resource and tool to connect all these groups together so that they're all working in unison to accomplish the mission.
Can you tell us some more about how you assist to get the vets getting to their doctor's appointments or the VA, which is the closest one you said is in L.A., the VA hospital?
Yeah, the closest VA hospital we have, well, the VA hospital that we're in, what's called the L.A. region. And so if a veteran has to go to the hospital for a VA appointment, something like that, they have to go to L.A. From this region. We have three great programs here in the county to transport vets to appointments. We have the Veterans Express that's coordinated and run by the Ride-On program with Mark Schaefer and Greg Shear over there. We have the DAV/VA shuttle that just got set up, just started operation, I believe, October 15th, that our local DAV chapter and Milt Batson helped put in line. And then we have the shuttle bus, the American Legion shuttle van up in Paso that transports. And all three of these programs do a great job of making sure vets get to their appointments. The Ride-On program, it's a vet calls, tells them their appointment, need a ride. I think they get to use it once a month. It's $3, and they'll take them all the way from anywhere in San Luis down to Santa Maria to get a ride. And from Santa Maria, they can catch another bus if they have an appointment in L.A. to go to L.A. The DAV program, they have two shuttle vans here in San Luis County. They have two in Santa Barbara County. And basically, they'll take veterans anywhere from the two counties to their clinic appointments, and they'll also plug them into the bus that goes down to L.A. And then the North County American Legion Post 50 van they have, that goes out of North County, takes vets anywhere from up there to their appointments in San Luis or Santa Maria, and also plugs them into that bus program to go to their appointments down there. So we've got a rich van program here in the county, and it's just continually improving.
This is Brian Reynolds, San Luis Obispo County Library Director on KCBX Radio. Our program is Issues and Ideas. Today, we're interviewing San Luis Obispo County Veterans Services Officer Dana Cummings, and joining me is Christine Tardif, Library Manager for our county library. Dana, one of the things you talked about when we were getting ready for the program, and I hate even to bring this up, but there are dishonest people out there who offer scams and cons to veterans. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, one of the issues we've had to deal with in our county, and it's nationwide and statewide. You know, we've got, like I said earlier, we've got an aging veterans population, and so there are a lot of dishonest folks that are trying to take advantage of that group by offering to help them do their A's and attendance claims and stuff like that. And so I think a key thing for any veteran and their family is to remember, one, you should never have to pay to get the help to file the claims and stuff with the VA. Every county in the country has a veteran service officer, and so everyone in the country, every vet in the country, and obviously in our tri-county area, has the ability to get that stuff done for free. So if someone's telling you that you have to pay something to get that set up, that should be a huge red flag. If they're telling you that you have to use a particular service for your in-home care or your nursing care, and they're going to take a portion of your VA pension or aid in attendance, that should be a huge red flag. You should never have to pay anything. The money should always go to the veteran or the person that the veteran designates to handle their money. And then they pay whoever they want to pay with the money. And then also kind of a situation where a lot of groups are doing this. It's on the fringe of being illegal. It's not technically illegal, but they're enlisting. So if it's a veteran or is coming in and they've got too many assets, they're not charging them to fill out the claims forms and paperwork, but they're charging them to set up a trust to hide their money. And so they'll do the claims forms for free to get the pension, but then they'll charge them anywhere from we've seen it as high as $10,000-$15,000 to set up this trust to hide their money from the VA so that they can get this benefit. And, all you're doing is you're robbing from your fellow vets that need those services. So if someone sees it as an option, I would like to think that they would have the intestinal fortitude, I guess, and not do that to their fellow vet. It's not illegal yet, but there is a bill going through the Congress right now to make that illegal.
Hmm. We also talked the other day, Brian, you had asked about what are people's attitudes or reactions to vets who are coming back? Are they treated well? Or like you were talking, Brian, about during the Vietnam War, some of your friends weren't treated very well when they were coming back. And how is that true nowadays?
Well, one of the great things now is that, unfortunately, a lot of our older vets, when they came home, especially our Vietnam-era vets, were treated horribly when they came home. And so that's why there's been such a push in the last, in recent years, from the first Gulf War to, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, to make sure that never happens again. And so we have these big groups that go and they meet veterans coming home and, welcome them at the airport so that they feel that hero's welcome that they all deserve. I know for me, when I came home from war, that was that meant so much to me to have that. We have a great group here locally in San Luis called Welcome Home Military Heroes that does that, and they're phenomenal. That ugly head of people not treating the vets right still rears its head up sometimes. I know we've had reports where, I know groups, they make sure now when they send cards and stuff like that they check them, that there's nothing derogatory written on them. But when they have flag signings, they check them, make sure nobody's written anything derogatory on them. Because there are still people out there that consider the vet the problem when they don't realize that, your political beliefs may not agree with what the vet has to do, but the vet's doing their job and they're following their orders, whether you believe in what they're doing or not. They love their country just as much as you do and should be treated with the respect that they deserve.
Yeah, when I heard those stories, I was amazed, because many of us had strong feelings about the Vietnam War, but I never met anybody, whether they were just citizens or ex-military, who talked about the veterans being mistreated by people or disrespected. And so I'm glad that's getting better. Dana, what are some of the ways, you mentioned one about welcoming home vets, say at the airport or the train station, what are some of the ways that people in our county can get involved to help you do what you do?
Well, there's several ways. If you if you have a business or you work for an organization and they're looking to hire somebody, please consider hiring a vet first. Give us, or email me the job offer or whatever, so I can send it out and try to get it out. Would happily do that for you. Just a simple thank you when you see a vet on the street. Let them know. It may seem, silly or whatever to you, but you can't ever thank a vet enough. Go visit, the veterans that are in the senior homes and stuff like that. It means the world. Means the world to them to know that people out there haven't forgotten the sacrifices they made for our country.
Well, can you tell us about AmpSurf? There's quite a bit
sure.
Talk going on about that. What is AmpSurf?
Yeah, AmpSurf is an organization I've been part of for 10 years now. I ran it for many, many years. It's a program that teaches people with disabilities and mainly disabled vets how to surf as a form of therapy. Wheelability of therapy, and we're nationwide now. We're based out of Pismo Beach. Mm-hmm. We also have chapters on the East Coast, and mm-hmm. It's a great program. Surfing is one of those activities where most people don't think they could do it. And so when you take someone out there that has a disability, they've suffered mm-hmm. a traumatic injury, and show them that they can do it, it solidifies in their mind they can do anything.
In the Washington state where I'm from, they have the equivalent on the slopes. So my friend who's a disabled vet, he goes out there and he helps them up on the ski lifts. And again, it's one of those things, it's amazing that these guys or gals are headed down the slopes, with the help of other vets.
Yeah, that's one of the great things. There are so many programs now geared out there to help, whether it's, fishing, golf, skiing, surfing, mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. And just since AmpSurf started, it's spawned probably 10 other groups have either split off or been started based on it. And, there could be 20 more, and there'd still be a need to be filled. So it's great to see all these different programs.
What's the best way for a veteran or their families to find out more? to call your office?
Yeah, they can call our office. Our number is 805-781-5766. That's 781-5766. They can go to our website, slowvets.org. They could email us. Just check out the website. You can email us through there, slowvets.org, or give us a call, 805-781-5766.
And what do they need to bring with them?
The main things to bring when they're looking for services and benefits is the copy of the discharge papers for our older vets, younger vets, their DD-214. If they're married, their marriage certificate. If it's a surviving spouse or dependent of a vet, bring that stuff and the death certificate of the veteran.
Mm-hmm. I want to thank you for your service, Dana.
Thank you as well for your service.
Oh, well, thank you.
This is Brian Reynolds, San Luis Obispo County Library Director. We're on KCBX Radio. Issues and Ideas is the program. And today we have interviewed County Veterans Services Officer Dana Cummings. That would be for San Luis Obispo County. And we've also been joined by Christine Tardif, Library Manager for San Luis Obispo County. One final thought, Dana, about veterans. If you could say one thing to them or to the community, what would it be?
You are a special part of our community. Only 1% of our society serves in the military now. Please, you have earned all the benefits and services that are offered to you. Use them. The VA and the state and these other organizations, they've put aside funds and everything to make sure you have these services for the rest of your life. Plug into them and take advantage of what you've earned.
Thank you.